even though the door was only about 10 feet away. Holding Esmeralda Snowflake, he looked hot. Was I that demented? Because I actually thought he was even sexier carrying a goat. Inside, the women at the front desk confirmed it wasn't just me. Their eyes feasted on the bulge of his biceps as he carried our injured passenger to the front desk. He was quite the sight. I started to smile. Until he spoke. My friend slammed her BMW into this little guy while she was trying to get a grip on a vibrator. He smirked at me and winked at the receptionist. She blushed. I wanted to punch him. I'd like to get him checked out. I didn't think I hit him, but he just seems off. Chance snickered and mumbled under his breath. He's not the only one. 15 minutes later, we finally saw a doctor. He checked out the goat as if it were an everyday occurrence. One hand held him down on the examining table. The other pressed on his belly, checked his eyes, and wiggled all four legs. It seemed like a thorough physical to me. Everything seems to check out just fine. He has the usual congenital myotonic symptoms, and he probably suffered from a thiamine deficiency at some point. But those conditions don't come from a car accident. In fact, I don't see any signs that this little guy was even hit. It was probably just the fainting.
The fainting?
The doctor chuckled. This here is what is commonly known as a fainting goat. It's a genetic disorder, popular around these parts. Some farmers even show them. They faint when they get nervous. All the muscles in their bodies freeze up and they basically just tip over. Only lasts about 10 seconds. Doesn't cause any pain, but it's unusual to see for the first time. But he's confused, too. When he got up, he walked straight into my car and kept banging into things during the drive here. Well, that's likely because he's blind, too.
Blind?
Thiamine deficiency, I'd guess. Unfortunately, it's becoming a more common problem. Improper feeding, particularly too much grain and too little roughage. Greedy farmer trying to fatten up the animal quickly. One of the side effects of the deficiency is blindness.
Let me get this straight, Chance said with a skeptical tone. We didn't hit the goat, but he faints when he's scared and he's blind.
That's right. Chance erupted in laughter. It was the second time I'd seen him lose it in the last 24 hours. His chest heaved, and a deep, throaty sound echoed through the room. I couldn't help it. It got to me. Next thing I knew, I was hysterically laughing, too. We laughed so hard, tears streamed down our faces.
What are we supposed to do with him?
Chance chuckled as he spoke to the doctor.
Whatever you want, I suppose.
Where do we bring him?
Bring him?
Is there, like, a shelter for animals we can bring him to?
For goats?
Not that I'm aware of. Although there are quite a few farmers around, you can probably get one of them to take him in as part of their herd.
The same type of farmer that tried to fatten him up to make a quick buck in blinding the poor thing? I asked.
Well, there are good farmers out there and bad, just like anything else.
And how do we tell the good from the bad?
The doctor shrugged.
You don't.
We'd been in the car almost 10 hours already. Chance was driving, and our new passenger was sound asleep in the back seat, actually snoring. I didn't even know goats snored. We should stop soon. It might take us a while to find a hotel that allows pets.
Chance's eyebrows shot up.
Pets? You think we're going to find a hotel in the middle of nowhere that accepts goats?
What choice do we have?
He's staying in the car tonight, Aubrey.
He most certainly is not.
I folded my arms over my chest. He cannot stay locked in a car overnight.
Why not?
Because. I was angry he was ready to leave the goat in the car without so much as a blink of an eye.
Because what if he gets scared?
Then he'll faint, Chance chuckled.
That's not funny.
Sure it is.
Come on, Aubrey, lighten up.
Your being uptight is what got us into this mess in the first place.
I had no idea where it came from. The confession just blurted itself from my lips. I pleasure myself, okay? Does that make you happy to hear?
Chance grinned. As a matter of fact, it does. He shrugged. I pleasure myself too, Avery. In fact, the next time I rub one out, I'm going to picture you.
He did not just say that. I was appalled, but also sort of turned on. I opened my mouth to say something back to him, then closed it, then opened it. Chance glanced over at me and then back to the road.
Well, well, well. Aubrey, babe, what do you know? You fancy me pleasuring myself to your pretty face.
I do not.
You do too.
I do not. I totally do. Surprisingly, Chance let it drop. He pulled off to the side of the road into a parking lot of what looked like a nicer version of Walmart. It was an oversized warehouse of a store. Only the front had a stone facade. Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitters.
What are we stopping for?
Supplies. He parked the car. I'll be out in 10 minutes. You can stay with Billy the kid so no one steals him. I was outside the car stretching when Chance returned, both of his arms filled with bags. I bent at the waist, finishing a rotation of stretches and leaned to my right to greet him.
What is all that?
He didn't respond for a minute. I bobbed up and down slightly, leaning into my bend, and then looked up at his face to find what had made him quiet. He was looking right down my shirt. It wasn't his fault. I was basically putting it on display right before his eyes. My shirt gaped in the front, giving him an eyeful of my cleavage. I stopped bouncing. Eventually, his eyes lifted and found mine watching him. Our eyes locked. I knew that look. I'd seen it before. In the mirror after I'd gotten a look at his ass. He shook his head and blinked a few times.
Gear.
What kind of gear?
Tent, lantern, kindling wood, sleeping bags.
He shrugged. Basic camping supplies.
For what?
Camping.
You're going camping?
He shook his head and shoved the bags wherever he could find any free space. The trunk and back seat were packed to the brim when I started this trip, and now I had an extra passenger, a goat, and apparently camping gear.
We're going camping.
I don't camp.
Then Curry over here,
he pointed to the back seat, is sleeping in the car. Chance closed the trunk and his hands went to his hips.
What's it going to be, Aubrey?
Camping or he sleeps in the car alone.
Apparently, I was going camping. There's a first time for everything.
Chapter 5. I take it you've done this before. We'd only been at the campsite for a half hour, and Chance had already started a fire and was almost done pitching the first tent. Every summer with my family, my dad took my sister and I camping every year in the outback. Best memories of my life. It wasn't fake camping like this, either.
Fake?
No numbered campsites, bathrooms, and security. We did real camping.
What about you? What soured you to camping?
Nothing, I've just never done it before. Chance finished putting up the first tent and stepped back, admiring his handiwork.
That tent's huge.
Not the first time I've heard that, he snickered. I shook my head. Why did you buy such big tents?
Damn it,
Chance yelled as he swatted a mosquito from his face. The boisterous sudden rant scared poor Esmeralda Snowflake, and she froze in place and proceeded to tip over and faint. We got a good laugh over that one. Chance threw some more wood on the fire and sat down.
What about the other tent? I asked, looking over the fire at him.
I really hoped he wasn't expecting me to attempt to figure that one out myself.
What other tent?
You only bought one tent? He pulled a pixie stick out from his back pocket and tilted his head back, shaking some of the sugary powder into his mouth.
Tent has two rooms. There's a divider. You and your son can sleep on one side. I'll sleep on the other.
I didn't really have a right to complain, seeing as he was doing all the work and paid for all the supplies. So I didn't, for a change. We munched on what would normally be a month's supply of carbs for me and sat around the campfire. Chance peeled a stick with a pocket knife and popped a marshmallow on the end before offering it to me. He really was good at this stuff. So, I'll be sharing a tent with you tonight. We adopted a pet together, and I don't even know what you do for a living. I guess you can say I'm retired. Retired? At what, 26, 27? 28, he corrected. Oh, well, that makes it better. It was dark, even with the light of the fire. I lifted my roasted marshmallow to check it. The color was browned nicely on one side. The other side was still white. So, what did you retire from?
Soccer.
You played professionally? In Australia?
Yes. Well, not for long.
What happened?
Torn ACL.
It couldn't be repaired?
I had a few surgeries, but it tore again.
I'm sorry. How long did you get to play for?
One game.
One game? You tore it in your first professional game?
I did. First and last professional game. Both on the same day.
How long ago was that?
I stayed on the roster for my 3-year contract, had a few surgeries, never really could make it back to the level I needed to be at. Retired at 24.
Wow, that sucks.
He smiled.
But what do you do now?
I still get royalties, so I don't have to work a 9-to-5 or anything, but I spend my days making junk art.
Junk art?
Some people call it recycled art.
I went to an exhibit like that at the Guggenheim. I loved it.
I'd love to see your work sometime.
He nodded, very non-committal.
Can I be nosy?
You mean more nosy?
You're the one who told me to get to know you. Before you made me crash into poor Esmeralda Snowflake, that is.
You didn't even crash into that thing, and his name is not Esmeralda Snowflake.
My marshmallow was on fire. I blew on it, then slipped it off the stick and took a bite. It was almost liquefied. I noticed Chance was watching me intently.
You want a bite?
He shook his head slowly.
Why not? You're the sugar addict.
I get more enjoyment out of watching you eat it than I would eating it myself. He swallowed. The sight of his throat working made me warm, and it had nothing to do with the fire.
Anyway, how can you be living off royalties if your contract was only 3 years?
He looked away.
Posters and stuff.
Posters? You mean of you?
Haven't we talked about me enough? Harry's been quiet today, hasn't he?
Not a chance, Cocky. You blew me off once, and I let you off the hook.
Turned out, I wasn't the only one that thought Chance Bateman was ridiculously hot. Even years after retiring from professional sports, legions of women in Australia were still keeping his poster and jersey sales alive, enough for him to live off of. There was something very endearing about him, being a little embarrassed of the whole thing. After a few more hours of sitting around the campfire, we decided to call it a night. Chance set up my sleeping bag for me and then zipped the divider of our 2-room tent down. He left me with the lantern so I could change first. My clothes smelled like campfire, so I stripped everything off. There was something exciting about standing naked with only a flimsy piece of nylon between us. I might have lingered an extra minute before I put my bra and panties back on. When I was all done, I unzipped the corner of the tent and handed the lantern to Chance. He gave me a sly grin and zipped the divider back into place. My side of the tent went dark, but as I climbed into my sleeping bag, I realized I could now see everything on his side. It was a shadow, but a very detailed shadow. He was facing me, standing very still. I wasn't certain, but it felt like he was looking right at me. It was impossible to actually see me through the vinyl divider, but I sensed his eyes on me nonetheless. He reached down to the hem of his shirt and slowly lifted it over his head.
The shadow of his body was broad at the shoulders, but tapered to a narrow waist. Even though I couldn't see the detail, I imagined what I knew was there. The ridges of his muscular abs, the hard planes of that carved V. My mouth was suddenly dry. He stood there again for a long moment and then began to strip out of his pants. The sound from the slow unzip of his jeans made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. His thighs were thick and muscular. His boxer briefs hugged his legs like a second skin. I held my breath when his thumbs hooked into the top of his boxers, and he began to peel them off his body. He bent to slip them off, and then stood. Holy mother of all cocky bastards. He was hung. The thing was dangling more than halfway to his knees. I took a sharp breath in, realized it was audible, and quickly slapped my hand over my mouth. I kept it there until he was completely dressed, afraid a moan might slip out. When he was finally done, I watched him climb into his sleeping bag. He rolled onto his side and faced my direction. It made me wonder if he was looking at me. Then he flicked off the light. Night, Aubrey. Aubrey. Perhaps I could have been imagining it, but his voice sounded as thick and needy as I felt. Night, Chance. I took a deep breath and shut my eyes, attempting to regain my wits. Then it dawned on me for the first time. Had he just watched me give him the same show and returned the favor? Where am I? That was the first thought that came to mind as I woke up. After a few seconds, everything registered. Sunlight attempted to permeate the tent. I lightly patted my bedside before my hand, tapping on the ground, turned frantic. Where was the goat? I jumped out of my sleeping bag. Chance! He groaned groggily from behind the divider. The goat! He's gone! A rush of panic tore through me. He's gone! I'd zipped the divider down without a second thought. Relax, he's here with me. Bah! The goat let out that single sound as if to confirm that I had overreacted. My pulse immediately slowed down as I held my hand over my pounding heart. Oh, thank God. Chance sat up and ran his hands through his messy hair. Blinking when he looked up, he seemed to freeze. Jesus Christ, are you trying to kill me? I looked down at myself and crossed my arms over my chest. I'd run over so fast I hadn't thought about the fact that I'd only slept in my bra and panties. Shit, sorry, I was so panicked. I wasn't thinking straight and didn't put anything on. Utterly embarrassed, I returned to my side and spoke through the closed divider as I started to get dressed. So, how did he end up over there with you? You were out like a light. He started rustling around, trying to break through to my side. The bugger wouldn't calm down until I led him over here. Slept next to me the rest of the night. Worst fucking breath I've ever smelled in my life. I couldn't help but crack up at that. You think that's funny, eh, princess? I really do. After throwing my last item of clothing on, I unzipped the barrier again. Chance was standing before me half-naked, only wearing his tight boxer briefs. He glared at me. Privacy much? What if I'd just walked in on you like that a few seconds ago? He'd never looked so sexy, with his bedhead and that almost angry look. My eyes unapologetically trailed down the length of his torso, down the thin line of hair leading into his underwear, and stopped on his massive erection. Oh, God. Now it made sense why he was suddenly modest. Clearing my throat, I said, You're hard. Yes. It's called morning wood. I can't be responsible for how I wake up, especially under these conditions. Sleeping next to a goat. Did it turn you on? I laughed. I was referring to your impromptu striptease a few seconds ago, and now you barged over here again before I had a chance to calm the fuck down from it. Oh, I can only take so much. Chance slipped his pants on. His stare was burning into mine. He looked even sexier with his arousal straining through his jeans. As much as I'd felt awkward for putting him in this situation, I loved the idea of being the one responsible for his hard-on. In fact, my ability to handle my attraction to him was dwindling pretty fast. With each second that passed, the muscles between my legs were tightening from just the way he was looking at me. These were times I was grateful to be a woman because at least my excitement could be hidden. Still, this wasn't a good predicament. I needed to break the ice. Clearing my throat, "What are the plans for today?" He slipped a shirt on. "We need to eat." "So, we'll get breakfast out?" I stupidly asked. "Yes, breakfast. What else would I be eating out?" Choking over my words, I said, "No, breakfast is good. I'm hungry. You? Starving." The look in his eyes implied that he wasn't necessarily referring to food. I was starving, too. "Okay, then," I said as I retreated to my side of the tent to cool off. It took us about an hour to break down our campsite and pack everything back into my car. We opted to stop for takeout breakfast at a fast food place that was just before the on-ramp to the highway. Chance had gone inside to order our Huevos Rancheros breakfast burritos and coffee. I used the opportunity to take my phone out and typed into Google, "Chance Bateman, Australia." There he was. A plethora of pictures popped up. There was one in particular where he was shirtless, wearing nothing but a white t-shirt draped around his neck, and you could see just a tease of the top of his juicy ass. The picture showcased his signature sexy smirk that made me squirm in my seat. That cocky smile. God damn it, he was handsome. That same image seemed to be the one that came up the most. It was also the one being sold as a poster for a cool $19.99, plus shipping and handling. There was even a picture of some girl standing next to the poster on her wall, pretending to bite his ass. I suspected there were other people out there playing their own twisted versions of Pin the Tail on the Chance. Knowing he'd be back any minute, I was reading through old articles and message boards so fast that my eyes hurt. It was definitely evident that Chance was more well-known for his debut game injury and his looks than anything else. I couldn't help but feel a sense of pride for how he'd turned lemons into lemonade, though. Scrolling down, I came across some pictures of him at various events with the same attractive blonde model, Piper Ramsey. A twinge, well, maybe a boatload, of jealousy developed in the pit of my stomach. A knock on the window startled me. I tossed the phone aside and it fell into the driver's seat. Well, more like I threw it over there. "Open up for your coffee," I heard him say through the window. I took my cup from him as he walked around and got into the driver's seat. "What were you looking at?"
Nothing. I was just..."
Shit. Before I had a chance to explain myself, he lifted the phone, scrolling through the pictures with his thumb. He then threw it down onto the center console.
"Well, now you've seen it all, haven't you?"
"Yes, and it's pretty amazing." He let out a single angry laugh.
"Amazing, eh?"
"Yes. And tell me, Aubrey, what exactly is so amazing about working practically your entire life for one single moment and seeing it all go up in flames on the very first try? What is so amazing about being more famous for your failure than your success? You know what was so nice about this trip with you up until now? You didn't see me as that guy that everyone thinks they know, and now you do." Shit, I'd really upset him. "I'm sorry, but I wasn't thinking those things at all."
"What were you thinking then?"
I was thinking about how wonderful it was that you could stand up proudly in the face of adversity and still make a name for yourself on your image alone. I was also thinking about how striking you are, if you really want to know. And I was wondering who that girl Piper was. I was curious about everything, yes, but not in a bad way. Not once did I think anything negative. Chance let out a long, deep breath and muttered, "Let's just go." I felt so horrible for upsetting him, and even though the internet was public, it somehow felt like I had invaded his privacy. More than anything, I felt like I had hurt him. And that hurt me, because whether or not I wanted to admit it, there was an unwanted ache in my chest. I could feel myself falling for him, and that scared me. An uncomfortable silence clouded the air for the better part of an hour. The only time he'd moved his hands from the wheel was to feed Esmeralda snowflake pieces of hash brown patty dipped in cock sauce. Even the goat liked cock sauce. At one point, he finally looked over at me. "I'm sorry I snapped at you." "It's okay. I'm sorry that I made you uncomfortable." "I probably would have done the same thing if I were you. It's just all the stuff online. It's all bullshit. That's not the way to get to know me. If you want to know something, just ask me. Those people that post shit don't really know me." "I do feel like I know the real you. You probably know more than most people. I've been nothing but myself with you from the moment we met. Even though I give you shit, I feel comfortable around you, and that's rare for me." There was that feeling in my chest again. "I feel the same about you, and I don't really understand it. I just know I'm really glad that we crossed paths." He tapped the bobblehead. "Just think, if you'd never picked up Mr. Obama here, who knows where we'd both be right now?" He pointed to the back seat. "Where would this beast be right now?" "Probably passed out on the side of the road." Chance glanced back at the goat. "Instead, he's eating our food and sleeping with both of us. No thanks to me. It was all you." He flashed a sexy side glance and startled me when he put his hand on my knee, triggering a sudden rush of desire. "You're sweet. You have a good heart. That prick Harrison is going to be sorry someday." When he took his hand away, I longed for its return. What he'd said also sent shivers throughout my body. An indescribable feeling overwhelmed me. I didn't know how to respond, so I turned on the radio. Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys happened to be on. Chance turned up the volume. "Look at that! They're singing about you and your magic wand, princess!" I covered my mouth in laughter and we both cracked up. We'd finally broken through the earlier tension, and that gave me a sense of relief. After we stopped for lunch and had driven for several more hours, Chance turned to me. "Are you in a rush to get to Temecula by a certain time?" "I don't start my new position for another week, and the house I'm renting is fully furnished, so not really. Why? Care to take a little detour before darkness falls?" "Sure, I'd be up for that. What do you have in mind?" "Somewhere rock hard and deep," he winked. "Well, that piqued my curiosity." Chapter 6. We parked the car near the perfect spot overlooking the steep rocky walls of the Grand Canyon. Its beauty was overwhelming. "Oh my God, Chance. I can't believe I hadn't thought of stopping here myself. I've always wanted to see it in person. It hadn't dawned on me that it was right on our way. It's so breathtaking." I looked over at him and saw that he'd been staring at me instead of out toward the majestic peaks. "Yeah, it's very beautiful," he said in a low voice. "Let's take a picture." With the Grand Canyon as the backdrop, Chance snapped a selfie of us with his phone. He then texted it to me so I'd have it. The snapshot came out so good. The sun was shining into the blue of his eyes, and we both looked so happy and at peace. It made me wish this moment could go on forever, that we never had to leave this place. As we sat looking out into a blaze of red colors while the sun set over the panoramic scenery, Chance suddenly said, "Tell me about your family." "My mother lives back in Chicago. She wasn't happy about me moving at all. I'm her only child. But ever since she remarried, I felt like she hasn't needed me as much. My father died a year after I graduated from law school, so at least he got to see me live out his dream, which was that I become a lawyer like him." "It was his dream, but not yours," he said in understanding. "No, it's really not what I wanted." "What is your dream?" "I just want to be happy and fulfilled, but I have no clue what that even means anymore or how to get there. So much is up in the air right now for me. I feel like I'm at a crossroads in my life."
"That's not the worst thing in the world. Sounds like a good time to find yourself, especially since no one is tying you down."
"Yeah, I suppose. Speaking of which, I think we definitely scared off Harry Balls for good." Our laughter at his comment caused an echo. I stretched my arms and stared up at the sky. "You know what? I'm definitely happy right now. This, our little adventure, has been good for my soul." He flashed a sincere smile.
"You have a good soul. I could see that about you straight away despite your little bitch facade. You know why you're happy?"
"Why?"
"Because you're finally loosening up."
"I guess you took the stick out of my ass while I was sleeping in the tent last night, then?"
"Yep, burned it in a campfire."
He nudged me with his shoulder. I smiled and changed the subject off of me. "What about your family? Where are they?"
Chance paused and scratched his chin. "Like you, I also lost my father. He died of pancreatic cancer a few years after my injury."
"I'm so sorry."
"I just have one sister, Adele. She's 2 years younger. With Dad gone, my mother and she decided to move back to the States, but I stayed back in Melbourne. I never planned to move back here with them, but Adele got into some really bad shit. She needed me. I had no choice but to leave everything there behind to come handle things here."
"What happened?"
"It's a long story, but basically, she took up with a drug dealer and started using as well. It was a fucking nightmare."
"God, that's awful."
"I felt a lot of guilt because with my dad gone, I was supposed to be the man of the family, looking out for her. I had my head stuck so far up my ass in Melbourne that I didn't know how bad things were with Adele."
"Where is she now?"
"Hermosa Beach. Lives near me."
"Is she okay?"
"She's straightened up a lot, although she's still a work in progress. She's not with that motherfucker anymore. That's the main thing."
"And your mom?"
"I was coming back from visiting her when I ran into you, actually. She's living in Iowa temporarily now to be closer to her mother. My Gram is dying. But my mother was also living in California near us before Gram got sick."
"I'm sorry to hear about your grandmother."
"Thanks."
"I think that was very selfless of you to drop everything and move back here for your sister."
"Well, my life had been nothing but selfish up until then. Nothing should ever come before family. I learned that the hard way. Adele and my mother mean everything to me."
"They're lucky to have you. I wish I had a bigger family."
"You'll have one of your own someday."
"I'd like to, but I'm not sure it's in the cards for me. I haven't had the best luck with men."
"Don't tell me there were bigger douchebags than Harrison."
I chuckled.
"Along the same lines."
"Let me guess. After you broke up, I bet they all came running back. Am I right?"
Pausing, I said, "Now that I think about it, yeah. I've only had a few serious boyfriends, but they all did come back at one point or another asking for a second chance. How did you figure that?"
"Wild guess."
"I don't understand.
Girls like you are hard to find."
"Girls like me?
Explain."
"Okay.
It's not hard to find a beautiful woman, right? Definitely not hard to find a smart woman. And there are definitely some women with good hearts. But in my experience, it's extremely rare to find the whole package."
"Don't even try to say you have trouble finding women, Chance Bateman. You could have anyone you wanted."
He squinted his eyes at me.
"Is that what you think?"
"Am I wrong? You're not a chick magnet?"
"Crazy psycho bitch magnet, maybe."
"You've never found the whole package."
The one time I thought I had, it turned out I was dead wrong. I thought it was love, but in retrospect, it was merely infatuation.
Was that Piper?
His expression turned sullen as he looked down. Yeah.
What happened?
Piper was my fiancé.
Wow, you were going to marry her?
Yeah. Proposed to her 3 months into the relationship. Not too smart. She's gorgeous. You're prettier, he said without hesitation. And you're a fucking liar. I have no reason to lie. I've seen her without makeup. I've seen you without makeup. I'm telling you that you're prettier.
From the pictures I'd seen, Piper was blonde, thin, and conventionally beautiful. With my unruly auburn waves and curvy frame, I looked nothing like her.
How can you say that? She's a friggin' supermodel. How can I possibly compete with that?
Your beauty is more natural. You don't need a drop of makeup. Your hair is out of place and wild. Sexy. The freckles scattered across your nose give you character. I mentally play connect the dots with them. When you move, your tits move with you because they're not fake. And don't get me started on your ass. Shall I go on?
Feeling suddenly shy, I grinned nervously and briefly looked away before asking, what happened with her?
Well, as you know from your stalking me, Piper's a small celebrity in her own right. I met her at a nightclub right around the time I was first signed to the team. She stuck by me for a while after the injury. She really enjoyed the limelight that came along with my sudden and odd fame. But as the months went on, her excitement started to wear off. I wasn't enough for her anymore. When I'd gone through a bit of depression, I stopped wanting to go out. She kept on with it and eventually took up with one of my teammates behind my back. She's married to him now with 2 kids.
Wow, what a cunt.
Chance bent his head back in laughter. Princess, did you just use the C word?
Yep, for the first time in my life. But it was worth it.
I didn't know you had such a dirty mouth.
Neither did I, but damn, it felt good to say it.
I liked hearing you say it.
I think you should shout it out into the vast, wide-open canyon, in fact.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it. Shout it out.
Cunt!
Say it again, louder.
Cunt!
My voice echoed.
Again.
Cunt!
I screamed at the top of my lungs. We heard a thump against the window coming from the car parked just behind us. Chance hopped up to check on things.
Ah, crap. You scared the shit out of Mutton. He just dropped down.
Oh, no. That's not all.
What is it?
I got up and ran toward him. When I say you scared the shit out of him, I now mean literally. Bugger took a dump all over your back seat.
What?
After Chance did his best to clean the mess with some wet ones wipes, the mood of our Grand Canyon excursion had officially been ruined. It was getting too dark to enjoy it anyway.
Do you mind if we don't camp tonight? I asked.
I'd like to shower and sleep in a bed.
What do you say we go find a hotel near here, have a nice dinner, hot showers, and call it a night? I'd like to sleep in your bed, too.
What did you say?
I said I'd like to sleep in a bed, too.
Oh. What if we can't find a hotel that will let us take him in?
We definitely won't, so we're gonna have to sneak him in.
Chance stopped at a drugstore on the way to the hotel while I waited in the car. When he returned, he handed me a plastic bag containing bottles of water, snacks, duct tape, and diapers.
You bought diapers?
Yes, Huggy's pull-ups. We're figuring out how to put one on him, especially if he's got the runs, and we're taking him into a nice hotel.
I can't believe I hadn't thought about this problem before. Had he not gone to the bathroom all this time?
Chance pointed back behind us.
Did you see how much he shit just now?
He was backed up for days. We both broke out into hysterical laughter, wiping tears from our eyes. When we finally calmed down, Chance started the car and drove toward the highway.
Somewhere in the middle of Arizona, Chance pulled into the parking lot of a pretty high-end hotel about 10 minutes off the interstate. After I got our room keys, we came up with a plan where I would distract the front desk clerk while Chance snuck the goat in. He'd wrapped him in one of my comforters and sped past the desk and into the elevator. Chance had the door adjoining our separate rooms open when I got upstairs. He'd already managed to put 2 pull-ups on Esmeralda Snowflake, wrapping some tape around the top to secure them. Chance hadn't noticed me, and I watched as the goat jumped into his arms and licked his face. "All right, buddy, calm down. You're a good mate, you know that? A good mate. You're being so sweet with him." Chance turned his head toward me suddenly, surprised to see me standing there. "Bug is growing on me. I know the feeling, because you're growing on me. I was thinking I'd go out and get us something nice to eat. Do you like wine?" "I do. I've actually been dying for a glass." "What kind do you like?" "Any kind of white. I like red. I'll get both." "That sounds great," I smiled. "Do you know where you're going?" "The map here says there's a strip of restaurants and a liquor store about 2 miles down the road." "All right. I think I'll take a shower while you're gone." "Okay. Any special requests for dinner?" "Surprise me." He left, and I retreated to the luxurious bathroom. As the hot water poured down on me, all of the emotions I'd been struggling with the past few days seemed to pummel me all at once. It hit me that we were on the final leg of this trip now. I still had no clue if Chance and I would simply go our separate ways once we got to his stop, or if he was interested in more. Based on that phone call I'd overheard, clearly there was something he was keeping from me. I never flat out asked him if there was currently someone else when he admitted to a complicated situation. Even knowing that was a possibility, I couldn't help my feelings for him. Chance was the only thing that felt right about my life right now, the only thing that felt like home for as long as I could remember. I threw a t-shirt on along with some cotton shorts and tried to watch a little HBO while I waited for Chance. Esmeralda Snowflake hopped on the bed next to me. An hour went by, but Chance hadn't returned. With each passing minute, an uneasy feeling grew in my gut. What if he never came back? It was a foolish thought. He'd given me no reason to believe that. Still, my reaction was one of slight panic suddenly. Maybe I was just exhausted from the trip, a little delusional. When another half hour passed, I called his phone. There was no answer. With each minute, the panic grew, and my eyes started to swell. I couldn't help it. I knew it was probably an overreaction, but I'd already lost control of my emotions in the shower, and his not returning was adding fuel to the fire. The door suddenly opened, and I rushed to wipe my tears. "My God, that was a clusterfuck," he groaned. Chance was holding 2 bags and dropped them down on the desk in my room when he noticed me frantically wiping my eyes. "Aubrey, are you crying? Did something happen?" No, I'm fine. It's nothing." He walked toward me. "It doesn't look like nothing. What the hell is going on?" "You were gone so long. I called your phone and there was no answer. I started to think maybe..." "Shit." He blinked repeatedly. "You thought I wasn't coming back?" "It was just a fleeting thought. Deep down, I knew it was ridiculous, but couldn't seem to help it. It's been a long trip, and I think I'm just tired." Chance gently wiped the tears from my eyes with his thumb. "I'm sorry you got scared." He took my chin in his hands and turned my face to meet his eyes. "I wouldn't do that to you." My heart raced as he pulled me into him. My body seemed to melt into his solid, warm frame. His heart thundered against mine as he hugged me tightly. I never wanted him to let me go. Don't let me go. When he pulled back, cold air replaced the warmth of his body. "Can we please erase this from memory?" I asked. It was a lapse in sanity. I wiped the last of my tears and sniffled. "What took you so long, though?" He didn't answer. He was still just looking at me with a serious expression as he examined my face. He seemed to be contemplating something. I couldn't recall him ever looking that serious before. Finally, he said, I had to go to two different restaurants. The first one told me it would be about an hour wait, and the second was no better. He lifted his phone out of his pocket and connected it to a charger. My phone died. That's why you couldn't reach me. I shook my head, muttering to myself, feeling so stupid for overreacting. He handed me a cup. Let's forget this and have a nice dinner, eh? Trying my best attempt at a genuine smile, I said, That sounds good. We sat across from each other at the small table in my room as we ate in silence. Chance had ordered 3 entrees from an Italian restaurant: eggplant lasagna, chicken parmesan, and pasta primavera. He poured wine into the 2 paper cups. I know it's a lot of food, but I figured he'd want to eat as well, he said, placing a plate of food on the ground for Esmeralda Snowflake. The tension in the air never let up all throughout dinner. I just kept pouring more Chardonnay to numb my feelings. Chance went straight back to his room after we cleaned up. That left me feeling empty and confused, like maybe I'd freaked him out with my crying episode. Having had too much wine, I lay on my bed and stared up at the ceiling, which seemed to be slightly spinning. With my buzz granting me false courage, I got up and opened the adjoining door. The shower was still running while the goat waited outside the closed bathroom door. Lying down on Chance's bed, I curled into the thick down-feathered pillow. When he emerged from the bathroom, he stopped short of the bed. He was wrapped in nothing but a white towel. His thick hair was wet and slicked back. Droplets of water slowly ran down his chest. So overcome with pent-up desire, I licked my lips. My heart was beating out of my chest. What are you doing in here, Aubrey? I sat up suddenly. Do you not want me here? He closed his eyes briefly, then said, It's late. I think it's better if you go back to your room. That was not like him. My stomach dropped. Humiliated, couldn't even begin to describe how I felt as I said, Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't realize how late it was. He just stood there, towering over me with his large hands gripping his sides as I walked past him. I returned to my room alone, tossing and turning as I ruminated over why, all of a sudden, he'd turned cold. Chance had sent me so many signals today that he wanted me. We'd opened up to each other. We'd laughed. He'd told me I was pretty. Maybe I misread everything. Maybe he was just being nice. Maybe he was attracted to me but didn't really want me for himself. Maybe the crying freaked him out. I was more confused than ever. The only thing that seemed certain, by the end of this trip, I was going to end up hurt. Chapter 7. The next morning was awkward, but not the type of exciting awkward we'd encountered yesterday in the tent. I'd slept like crap, and last night's rejection that left me feeling sad had morphed into anger. We sat at a Waffle House filled with truckers and retirees. I stirred my coffee and let the spoon clank loudly on the table. Everything okay, Princess? Fine. I avoided eye contact and stared out the window as I sipped my coffee. It was bitter, and so was I. Chance leaned back against the booth and splayed his arms along the top of the seat. I may not be an expert in women, but I know enough about them to know that fine means definitely not fucking fine. Well, apparently you don't know me, because fine means fine. He ignored me and continued with his analysis of one simple word. And the speed at which the fine is delivered is directly proportional to the level of pissed off. He drank his coffee and tipped the mug in my direction. And your fine came pretty damn quick. The waitress interrupted as we glared at each other. Everything okay here? Fine, I snapped. My response came so fast and sharp, the waitress was taken aback.
Sorry, it's her time of the month, and she gets like this.
He shrugged, and the waitress looked at him apologetically. I think she actually felt sorry for him. I waited until she walked away. Could you not do that?
Do what?
Make up stories about me.
I'm not sure it actually was a made-up story. You're quite the fucking bitch this morning.
Maybe that's your problem. Is it your time of the month, Aubrey? Is that what's bothering you?
I'm not a bitch, and no, that's not what's bothering me.
So, you admit something is bothering you, then?
What is this, a deposition? Are you a lawyer now? I thought you were an ass model.
Chance glared at me. I glared right back. At least I'd sufficiently pissed him off enough to shut him up for the rest of our meal. We ate in unhappy silence, and then Chance took the goat for a walk before we started back on the road. He took the first shift driving. 5 minutes into the trip, my phone was buzzing. Harrison's name flashed on the screen.
"Aren't you going to talk to Loverboy?" he asked facetiously, but I answered with honesty.
"No, I make it a point to only be an idiot once. He showed me who he truly was with his actions. It doesn't matter what he says with words now." His eyes flashed to mine, and then back to the road. We were quiet for another hour after that.
"What do you think about another detour? Sin City for a night or two?"
It made me sad to answer, but spending two more nights with him wasn't a smart idea. I was already feeling something he wasn't. Putting some distance between the two of us was the right thing to do. I should probably just get to California. He actually looked sad about my answer, which confused me even more.
"Okay, if that's what you want."
Hours later, knowing it would be our last full day together, a feeling of melancholy settled in. We stopped to fill up and, as usual, Chance was sucking on a pixie stick when he returned to the car.
"Want one to suck on?"
He whipped a fistful of long purple sticks from his back pocket.
"No thanks."
"You sure? You look like you could use a good suck." He winked at me.
"Why do you do that?"
"Eat sugar?" We loaded back in the car. Chance was driving again.
"No, make remarks with sexual innuendo to them all the time.
Guess my head is always in the gutter when I'm around you." He pulled away from the pump and navigated out of the parking lot.
"Except last night," I mumbled under my breath, apparently louder than I intended.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"Can we not rehash last night? I felt like an idiot enough. You don't have to pretend to be attracted to me to make me feel better today. I'm a big girl."
"What?"
His brows drew together.
"Is that what you think? That I'm not attracted to you?"
I shrugged and rolled my eyes. Chance muttered a string of curses and pulled off to the shoulder of the road. We hadn't even made it a mile since the gas station stop. At this rate, I'd never get away from him.
He threw the car into park and got out, slamming the door hard behind him. The whole car shook with the strength of his anger. I watched from inside as he paced. He tugged at his hair as he walked back and forth on the dirt, grumbling something to himself. I couldn't make out what he was saying, but I didn't need to in order to be sure it was a whole lot of four-letter words. What the hell was he angry for? Because I'd called him on his crap? Because I'd made him feel bad for rejecting me? I was glad he was pissed, because so was I. After a few minutes, I got out of the car, too.
"You know what? Get over yourself. Someone finally called you on the little game you play. Being rejected sucks," I scoffed. "Although, I'm sure you don't know the feeling at all."
Chance stopped pacing and stared at me. The muscle in his jaw ticked, and he looked like he was near blowing. I wanted him to blow. "You know what else? Plenty of men find me attractive. I don't even care that you don't. You're no different than Harrison, saying one thing and doing another." Well, that did it. The explosion came. Although it definitely wasn't the one I saw coming. Chance stalked to me. He looked so angry. I backed up until I was against the car with nowhere else to go. Then he invaded my personal space. One arm reached out on either side of me, caging me in between him and the car. He lowered his face to mine and spoke with our noses only inches apart. "You're right about one thing, Princess. I'm not attracted to you." I refused to give him the satisfaction of seeing tears, although, inside, my heart was slowly breaking. Then he continued, "Attracted was what I was when I saw you that first day in the store, playing with that little bubblehead. I thought you were beautiful, gorgeous even, but now I'm not attracted to you anymore. Now that I've gotten to know you, it's not attraction." I wanted to tell him to go screw himself, but even as he was saying terrible things to me, I was mesmerized by him, the way his eyes turned from blue with a hint of gray to gray with a hint of blue when he was angry, the way his chest heaved up and down, and damn if he didn't smell good, too. I stood there and waited for the rest of his rant, because, let's face it, I wasn't capable of doing anything else. Now that I see what's really behind that bitchy facade, a woman who was hurt badly, yet still willing to put herself out there because deep down she's a romantic, attraction doesn't come close to what I feel when I look at you. You really want to know what I feel when I look at you now? Somehow, I managed to nod my head. Attraction is way too tame for what happens when I look at you. I want to fucking conquer you. Watch your beautiful face as I sink deep inside of you so hard it borders on pain. I want to bury myself so far that you won't be able to walk for days. The only thing that could possibly be more beautiful than your face when you smile at me is your face with me inside of you. He closed his eyes and leaned his forehead against mine. So yeah, you're right. I'm not attracted to you. It's more like I'm captivated by you. I was pretty sure he had to feel my heart thundering in my chest, even though our chests weren't touching. I don't understand then. Chance lifted one hand to my face and cupped my cheek. He caressed my face tenderly before his hand slid down to my throat. A long moment silently ticked by. My heartbeat was under his thumb when he finally spoke. "I wish things were different." The next few hours of the drive, my emotions were in turmoil. We were both quiet, although there was no longer an angry tension in the air. I was confused, to say the least. When we started to see the signs for Las Vegas, the only thing that was clear in my jumbled head was that I wasn't ready for this trip to be over. "If the offer is still open, I'd like to take the detour." My voice was quiet, almost hesitant. Chance glanced over at me, a solemn look on his face at first, then a slow grin spread wide. "You want to sin with me, Princess?" Did I ever? I couldn't believe we'd found an animal boarding facility to take a goat. The woman at the front desk didn't even bat an eyelash when we'd asked if she could keep our passenger for a night or two. Something told me they'd seen a heck of a lot stranger stuff in Vegas. We parked at the end of the strip and decided to walk along Las Vegas Boulevard until we found a hotel that jumped out at us. The sun was scorching hot as we walked along the pathway that traveled from one end of the infamous strip to the other. I pulled off my white t-shirt, leaving only a very tight nude-colored tank top. I didn't usually walk around that exposed, but the sweat was already beading down my back. Laughing, I draped the t-shirt around my neck and walked ahead of Chance, glancing at him backward over my shoulder. "Remind you of anything?" I teased, posing exactly how he was positioned in the poster I'd found for sale all over the internet. "Cute." He shook his head and chuckled. My mood was growing better as we walked. A street mime surprised me as we passed and took my hand. He pulled a flower out from up his sleeve and presented it to me,
holding my hand up to his mouth for a kiss. Chance grabbed my hand and tugged me away before his lips could reach my skin. "Hey, what did you do that for?" "We're in Vegas, not Kansas. You don't let strange guys put their lips on you." My initial reaction was to be annoyed. Then I realized Chance hadn't let go of my hand after grabbing it. We were walking hand in hand, so I figured, why argue if you like the end result? At the Mirage, we